it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I am here. Frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Welcome back, everyone. Time for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. It's good to be back in Oregon. I tell you, it's a weird thing. First of all, the trip from here in Portland, Oregon, to Boise, Idaho, if you count it from, like, edge to edge of the city limits, right, is 420 miles. That's right. It's 420 miles from Portland to Boise, roughly. Like, from here where I'm at, like, right now, to where we were at in the park, it's more like 427, okay? So, if you're on Google Maps, you're going, that's not accurate. Well, okay. Right? It's within 420, right? So, it's 420. But the trip is 376 miles on Interstate 84, that hits the border at a place called Ontario, Oregon, which is the onion capital of America. Onion fields, onion growth, onion processing, right? Big thing. Also, Ore-Ida is there, if you know about Ore-Ida potato products and stuff. And then when you get to that border, you cross the border, and one good thing happens. You know, you hit Idaho, right? The one good thing that happens is you get 80 miles an hour on the speed limit there on that part of the freeway. And then, but it's 50 miles from the border to Boise, basically. Exit 49 is like the first exit. So for most of your trip, you're in Oregon. Most of your trip, you're where it's legal. And then when you cross that border, it is like you just feel like you're a target. You feel oppressed just crossing the border. And vice versa, when you come back home, when you cross that Snake River and you see that Welcome to Oregon sign, you breathe a sigh of relief. God. So nice, right? When we came back from Idaho, we stopped in Ontario. Our friend Bill Espenson, whose speech you'll hear later on this hour. Bill Espenson ran the 45th Parallel Dispensary in Ontario, so it was the closest medical marijuana dispensary to the people of Idaho. And back in the day, you could get a medical marijuana card as an out-of-state patient. Can't do it now because our legislature changed that, but we think it's unconstitutional. It'll probably come back. But anyway, lots of Idahoans would get their medical marijuana card, and they'd go to Bill's place in Ontario to get their medicine, 50 miles from Boise, right across the border. Well, now, you know, 2013, Bill was the one who got busted in Eastern Oregon. Lori Duckworth, whose speech you'll hear in this hour as well, was the one that got busted in Southern Oregon. And our friend Sarah Bennett, was the one busted in the Portland area. So this triangle of busts across the state were the last three dispensary owners to be busted before dispensaries became legal. Like, literally, Lori's bust happened, I think, 10 days before the bill was signed that legalized dispensaries. And all these three operators were not only doing an above board job running their dispensaries were literally the models
And these people were the consultants to the legislature on how the dispensary should be run. So you'll hear from them coming up at the Boise Hemp Fest. We stopped in Ontario at Bill's place, and then we made our way to Nyssa and met another Bill, a delightful hippie fella. This guy is the best of hippie, right? Hippie plus kind of nerd geek, right? He was really scientific and, you know, knew a lot about politics and stuff. And we checked out his grow in Nyssa, which is another city just across the border from Idaho. Thriving medical grow. And both these cities leaving money on the table because they've banned recreational sales. Meanwhile, 25 miles farther down I-84, there's a city called Huntington, thriving because it has a recreational shop.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Legal to listen to all over the world. We're just not sure about France. CannabisRadio.com. The cannabis industry is growing. Business is booming. And as new opportunities arise in newly legalized states, each market is getting more competitive. Today, it takes more than just being a good grower. Do you have the resources to market and handle this ever-changing business landscape? Let Canna Management Corporation help you grow your canna business with our vast resources and experience to make your business a fully functional service company. Financial management, HR, sales, marketing, efficiency, and more. CMC has the experience and the expertise to improve your business and help you better meet the demands of your clients and customers. Call Canna Management Corporation and let our team get you ready to grow. 415-269-8015. That's 415-269-8015. Or visit canna-management.com. Previously on the Stoner Jesus Show.
St. Peter auditioning to be the Microsoft weed software spokesman.
Hey, this is St. Peter for Microsoft. They track weed. Does that mean they're going to, like, track the weed? Is that what this is about, Jesus? I'm not going to be tracked, Jesus. I'm not going to have my fucking weed tracked. And I'm not going to have fucking Microsoft track me back to my fucking house through my weed to where they fucking spied on people with that goddamn Xbox camera. Fuck this. Fuck Microsoft. Fuck this bullshit.
The Stoner Jesus Show. Live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
The Russ Belville Show, providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Most of us pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
We have more of our highlights from the Boise Hemp Fest that took place this Saturday. Bill Espenson, one of the dispensary owners who was busted in Eastern Oregon, got to speak, and he is followed by Lori Duckworth, who was one of the dispensary owners busted in Southern Oregon. All part of the first annual Boise Hemp Fest, licensed by the Seattle Hemp Fest organization, and I'm sure they will be taking part in this next year. Didn't see a single police officer at this event. I was quite surprised by that. Here's Lori.
Well, this is my first time in Boise. It's great. It's hot as hell here, almost as hot as Southern Oregon, where my home and my farm is. I am a medical marijuana farmer. Woo! I'm also a felon by default. You know, you guys have heard from people all over today, and you're going to hear from more people, but I want to just tell you my story very quickly. I'm the former director of Southern Oregon Normal in Medford, which is the furthest county south, Jackson County in Oregon. My good friend Bill Espenson, which a lot of you know, is from right here in Boise. He ran the 45th parallel in Ontario. A lot of you went there, right? Yeah, thank you for supporting him. He was raided September 2012 in Ontario. His home, his business, he lost it all. He was prosecuted. Between then and May 23rd, 2013, when my facility was raided 10 days before the governor signed our dispensary bill, which I helped to craft, our good friend, Sarah Bennett, her facility was raided in Tigard, which is just outside of Portland. That was Operation Storefront. That was a conspiracy by the sheriffs of Oregon to stop legalization. But that didn't happen because it took people in Oregon, activists in Oregon, you activists out there, like you just heard Russ say, it takes you to help the patients. You that push the wheelchairs and dump the bedpans, that inject the diabetics, that farm quietly in your basements, in your closets, and in your warehouses, that provide your oils for the children. We went to trial, or were due to go to trial, right after Bill was sentenced. He got 140 days in jail. We took a plea bargain, and they dropped 29 Class A felonies against myself, 28 against my husband, and they made up a brand new charge in Oregon. We lost Southern Oregon Normal chapter, closed our business, which was right next to the federal courthouse for almost 5 years. The feds didn't raid us, the state did. The charge was delivery of more than 1 ounce of cannabis to another medical marijuana cardholder for no consideration. What a bunch of bullshit. We got 11 months of bench probation. Our adult son, who lived in our home, became our grower. We replanted the 9 plants that they pulled out that we just planted 3 days before they raided us. Kept growing. And we even got our guns and our ammunition back. And we had a nice little collection because we're preppers. Bill set the precedence in Oregon by being found guilty. Sarah Bennett and the Human Collective continued operating. She became a felon. I lost my business. I lost my nursing license. The dispensary bill was signed by the governor. A year later, legalization was signed into law. And I'm running clinics. I work for the oldest, next to THCF, clinic in Oregon. Southern Oregon Alternative Medicine. We have 17 locations. Right after we took our plea bargain, I was diagnosed with cancer. I had no idea that I would need this plant so much. It's kept me alive. My point of telling you all this is, don't ever give up. Get off your asses and get to work. We did it in Oregon. They've done it in many other states, but they can't do it without you. We couldn't do it without people like me. Patients and caregivers, the black market people had to come out of hiding. I know you're scared. God, I was scared too when they raided me. I'd never been in handcuffs, at least not that I can talk about from up here. You guys are so important to get to know your legislators. Go lobby. They're just people. They put their pants on just like us. And you know, if you're afraid of cops, think about it like that too. They put their pants on just like you, and they're not all bad. And you know what? You'd be surprised how many of those cops go home and toke too. How many of you have lost somebody to a drug overdose? The heroin problem in this country is out of hand. Pill problem's out of hand. Marijuana, in my opinion, is the life plant. It saves lives. It is a gateway drug. I've never argued that, but it's a gateway out. You are living proof. You know somebody, if you don't use it, that does. We normal moms have raised four. I've raised four children. I know one mom that has raised 11 children, and every one of them are high-functioning humans. I know my four are. I have a lawyer, I have a prison guard, I have a business owner, and I have a computer science college student. And I have three amazing grandchildren. It's up to every one of us to change the laws. The laws don't change themselves. I want to thank everybody for coming today. Stick around. A lot of us have multiple speaking slots, and I got some posters to give away.
So we're going to recap a little bit what I talked about this morning is the federal government's been lying to all of you. They have a federal medical marijuana program, and this can right here is sent to a friend of mine every month with 300 joints in it. Shit weed, but...
Yeah.
it's free. She gets it free every month. Has been since like 1988. 82?
88 maybe, yeah.
Yeah, a long time. And they still do. They still give it to her every month. They mail it to her and she gets it every month. And yet the DEA, I don't even know why they got jurisdiction over this, but on Wednesday, I believe, they said they're going to keep it in the Schedule 1, and Russ went over in detail what Schedule 1 means. And yet, they're giving this away as medical marijuana, and they're saying under Schedule 1, according to Russ, and what I know, is that it has no medicinal value, and we just know that not to be true. We're being lied to. And as long as we keep they keep spoon-feeding us, and we keep eating it, that's the way it's going to be forever. I can't do that no more. I've already been to jail for patients. I'm tired of this. It's like somebody said earlier, you know, it's real understandable why people who are in the political realm of things and trying to change things, they burn out quickly. They make it very difficult, but not impossible. Not impossible. Oregon proved it. Oregon did it. With citizens just like us, it wasn't like a bunch of suits sat around in the legislators and said, hey, let's make medical marijuana. These people need it. Hell no. They fought it tooth and nail, just like Butch Otter and all his cronies are fighting us. And they are fighting us, believe me. We tried to have a town hall meeting with the state police and the Idaho Office of Drug Policy and Students for Sensible Drug Policy, and it was all set up and people flew in. And guess what? They backed out. They backed out in the last minute. The state police, the Idaho Office of Drug Policy, you know why? Because Russ Belville was coming to speak. And if you guys don't know, Russ is known all over the world for his cannabis activism, and he just happens to be from Nampa. So it's awesome that Russ came, and like I told him yesterday, I expect him to be here, but people like Lori Duckworth and her, I can't remember her name, the lawyer from Seattle.
Stephanie
Kwan, and other people coming here and speaking about this, and you folks coming and listening and signing up with Idaho Medical Marijuana Association. Listen, we know you work. We know you got jobs. We know you got kids. We all do too. But you can help by either donating, or if you got a special computer skill or whatever your skill may be, printing, all those skills are needed.
This is bullshit. It's like Cypress Hill concert in here.
All right, that sound means that it's 4:20 here in the Pacific time zone. as is required by our union rules, I have to take a mandatory safety briefing. I hope you're safe out there. Howdy to all the Johns in the chat room and everybody not named John who is going to end up being named John anyway. We're like electroids in Buckaroo Banzai. Look that one up, kids.
Being green is good. Growing green is good. Making green is great. CannabisRadio.com.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
And blue blasting gurgan, fuffin' der blasting schnurb norbin. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Hope you had a good safety briefing. We're going to go back to this last Saturday in Boise, Idaho. And man, it was hot. Got up into the upper 90s, and on the drive home as we crossed eastern Oregon, or as I like to call it, western Idaho, it got as hot as 104 at one point out there on the freeway. Good Lord, that's hot. Speaking of hot, you got to check out the fourth album now is out from Chief Greenbud. He's my friend from Nashville, Tennessee. And I always like to say Chief Greenbud is what you get if you mix Weird Al Yankovic, Jimmy Buffett, and a whole lot of weed. Kind of country-themed parody music, all based around Greenbud, of course. To Chief Greenbud, it's a verb, you see. And Chief is popular at numerous cannabis-related events. He brings out his guitar, his green guitar, and just... is our little marijuana troubadour, I guess you could call him. And I'm breaking up a little bit because in his fourth album here in the liner notes, he gives me a shout out to me in 420 Radio. And I really appreciate that, Chief. That was awfully nice. So Chief showed up and he had his guitar and got to sing five songs up there on the band shell. I joined him for some background vocals, added some harmonies for him, and we'll give you a couple of those songs. It's I Just Want to Get High, and It's Only a Weed from Boise Hemp Fest.
And as you know, they talked about the problems that you can have if you smoke marijuana. And this song is about one of those. Well, I've got a problem, I don't know what to do. Every time I smoke weed, my girl comes unglued. She gets her granny panties all up in a wad. If I fire up a bowl of really good pot, I don't want gonna offend her little delicate nose. But I need a buzz, and that's just how it goes. So when she's got a problem that I wanna get stoned, I start contemplating living alone. Cause I just want to get high. It's what I really want. I just want to get high. Cheap Green Bud backup singers like to smoke a lot. Can't believe she doesn't realize. Want to get high. Just want to get high. And I've got a question and I need to know. It may sound kind of funny, but here I go. How did I end up with a girl that doesn't like to get baked? It's like putting dill pickles on your birthday cake. I guess it's time for me to make a choice. Do I quit smoking weed or just put up with her noise? A little bit of bitching beats being alone. And I can handle anything as long as I'm stoned. Cause I just want to get high. It's what I really want. I just want to get high. I like to smoke a lot. I can't believe she doesn't realize. She really don't know that I just want to get high. I just want to get high. I just want to get high. I think I need to get high. I want to get high. I just wanna get high. Thank you so much, man. This is my first time in Idaho, my first time in Boise, and love the city. They say it's a desert city, but I see all the grass here. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of the grass here, but hopefully that'll be changing real soon. Because I just like to get high. But it's not all fun and giggles, that's for sure. Sometimes bad things happen to people that have a little bit of marijuana. This is, they get caught. And this is a little song that talks about one of those young men getting caught with a little marijuana. Hello, Mr. Officer, how are you this evening? You say that you're smelling something you don't find very pleasing. Could it be the fact that I've been smoking weed? Yes, indeed. Yes, sir, Mr. Officer, I've got my hands behind me. Don't use any more pepper spray. That last shot was blinding, I can't see. And it's really hard to breathe. I'm in custody. Oh, it's only a weed. Oh, it's only a weed. It's only weed. It's only weed. Hello, Mom and Dad. It seems I've got a little problem. The policeman thinks I'm dealing, and it's prison time he's talking. Could you please call an attorney just for me? I'm in need. Hey, public pretender, when's my case going to trial? Cause I couldn't make my bond, and I've been in jail a while and lost my job. All for a quarter pound of pot. Ain't that a crock? Whoa, it's only a weed. Oh, it's only a weed. Oh, it's only a weed. Oh, it's only a weed. It's only a weed. Well, prison life is really hard. When they let us in the yard, there's a man named Bubba looking after me. He said that I'm kinda cute, but I feel like I'm being used. There's just got to be a better way, 'cause I'm not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Hey, future employer man, there's something I must tell you. When you run all my numbers, you're gonna find my record. I did time. Having marijuana is a crime. I wish they'd have an open mind. It's not a crime. It's only a weed. It's only a weed. It is only a weed, man, and we shouldn't be putting people in prison for it.
Well put. That's my friend Chief Greenbud from Nashville, Tennessee. You can check him out at chiefgreenbud.com. His fourth album is out. You should get all four of them. They got great tracks just like those you heard. Although with full band arrangement, it's not just acoustic, of course. He's got full backup singers and band arrangement, all that. But well worth your investment. ChiefGreenbud.com. He supports the legalization movement. He gives of his time for all of these activist events. Get back to him by getting some of those albums into your collection. Funny stuff. Great songwriting. ChiefGreenbud.com. We're back with activists from the Boise Hemp Fest right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing. So are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolut, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com. Doc Rob, the concierge for better living.
Cannabis is just one of the many great plants that we have on this planet called Earth that we can use consciously and intelligently to improve our well-being.
Take a real, raw, inside look at healthier living while sharing great ideas and improvements for a better quality of life.
Learning to live and live well is a lifelong process. This is a journey. You could be 80 years old or 8 years old. You can still learn something that's going to make tomorrow a little bit healthier, a little bit easier, a little bit happier, a little bit better.
The Concierge for Better Living with Doc Rob. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
Get the latest updates on the Russ Belville Show by following Radical Russ on Twitter and liking the Russ Belville Show on Facebook.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp.
For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootCamp.com.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here? You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Well, as we've been telling you for this last couple of segments, I was in Boise at the first annual Hemp Fest. A little different from the events they put on a few years ago called Hope Fest. This is officially licensed by the Seattle Hemp Fest organization. And it's always fun to go out and do these events, but I tell you, Idaho is so far behind. Even places like Texas, when I go to events out there, in that, in Idaho, you feel like you're under occupation. And that it's just, you know, it's so frightening to be a cannabis consumer there, to even let people know that you're sympathetic to the cause. And the turnout was good at the Hemp Fest. Nothing wrong with it, but it's not the same atmosphere of openness. First of all, no pot smoking going on whatsoever to be seen anywhere. But also, there were no police to be seen. So I don't know what that meant. Whether, you know, there was another event going on in the park down the greenbelt there that was beer and bikes. Maybe all the cops were busy taking care of the drinkers and let the marijuana consumers be. Who knows? But it could also be that they had people undercover that were watching. Who knows? That's the fear that underpins so much of this activism. So I took the time to interview a few activists who'd actually speak to me. There are many who wouldn't interview because they were afraid of being identified. Here's some from Idaho Medical Marijuana and the Green Party.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. Radical Russ here at the Boise Hemp Fest at Julie Davis Park in Boise, Idaho. I'm here at a nonprofit booth for the National Cannabis Patients Wall. Tell folks your name and tell us about this project.
My name is Vicki Anderson. I am the assistant director of the National Cannabis Patients Wall. We're gathering patient information all over the United States and in 40 countries. And we're going to Washington, D.C. next year, and we'll be building a mile-long wall honoring patients that have been cured and patients that are being denied from medical cannabis in the United States and other countries.
I imagine this is kind of along the same lines as the Vietnam Wall, kind of that idea.
Exactly. That's what inspired it. Dana Arvidson is from Tennessee, and her father-in-law was a veteran, and he died from cancer. And shortly after, she found out that the government had known for years that cannabis would cure cancer. And here she took care of him and watched him die, an honorable vet with a Purple Heart. And he could have had, you know, he could have had relief. If he couldn't have been cured, he could have had relief. He wouldn't have had to have died such a horrible death. And so she was inspired, and she started the National Cannabis Patients Wall for Tennessee. But so many other people wanted to join that then she went through the United States, and then other countries wanted to join. And so now we've got patients from over 40 countries.
So this isn't just a national wall, it's an international.
International now, it's gone even, yes.
Any estimate to how many names we've
got? We've got about 7,000 patients on the wall. We have a support group with 25,000 members that come for support, prayer requests, questions from other patients, and so, you know, and they gather there, and it's a very loving support group. It's family-oriented. We don't pass all the regular pot picks and all that. This is a patient support group. We have other social sites that we do that on.
Yeah.
But we have a specific support group, which is wonderful. We're also getting ready to file a lawsuit next month, September 1st. We're going to file a federal lawsuit.
Excellent.
To try to get the repeal. So we've got several projects going on, and that's www.ncpwall.org.
NCP
National Cannabis Patients, ncpwall.org.
Yep.
And how long have you been involved with this?
I've only been involved a couple of years.
Okay.
I was a patient in California. I came back to Idaho, and I couldn't be a patient anymore.
Right.
And it made me crazy mad because of my zip code, and now I'm forced pharmaceuticals instead of a natural healing. So I got on with the petition a couple of years ago, and then I tried to help the last petition, and we're going to have another one coming out. But I decided Idaho wasn't going to get it done. I was so disappointed after the first petition that failed. I started an online petition, and then I found the wall, and I've been online every day since fighting.
Excellent. Now, you were a patient in California. You moved back to Idaho. Yeah. Idaho has no medical marijuana law, so you're back on the pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
What do you say to the people that are like, well, hey, you're using the pharmaceuticals, you're using them, they seem to be working?
They don't, they make you sick. There's all so many side effects.
Yeah.
And it does not relieve the stress and the depression that is related to chronic pain.
Yes.
Chronic pain is a lot more than just the pain. It affects you mentally, and you just can't, you know. But with cannabis, it puts it on the back shelf. It relieves it enough to where I can think straight.
Yeah.
And I can be motivated and do something.
I've heard that from pain patients before, where they tell me it's not so much that the cannabis kills the pain, which it does to some extent,
it relieves
the mental aspect of pain.
Absolutely, yes. And that wears on you way as much as the pain does.
Sure it does.
It really does.
So folks, log on to the internet. Go to ncpwall.org if you want to help out the National Cannabis Patients Wall. And especially if you're here in the state of Idaho, where things are very, very difficult for patients, give all you can to help them out. Anything else you want to tell them?
Idaho needs to step up. We only have 100 and something patients. We don't even have 200 people in Idaho that have stepped up to sign up for this. We will after today, but still, Idaho has got to step up. We cannot sit back and wait for other people to do it for us. The elderly and the sick are out there on the street petitioning, and we need some young people. We need some young blood, someone to get out there that can actually walk around, that can stand on a street and get petitions. I have to have a wheelchair and a table. I can't do it all.
Yeah.
We need people. So, Idaho, get off your butts.
That's the tax you have to pay as a healthy person is helping people less fortunate than yourself.
Absolutely.
And I agree with that entirely. Thank you so much for your time and your volunteering.
Thank you so much.
Hey everyone, Radical Russ here at the Boise Hemp Fest in beautiful Boise, Idaho. I've stopped here at the desk for some grassroots organizers for the Green Party. Tell us your names and what you're involved with here.
Hi, I'm Sage. This is Carissa.
I'm Riley.
And we're collecting signatures to allow Green Party ballot access for the presidential election. It's the fourth largest party in America, and they should be on there along with Johnson and Trump and Clinton.
So Idaho doesn't have the Greens on the ballot at this point?
No, not yet.
Wow. What is it going to take for that to happen? Yes. A certain number of signatures?
About 500 more signatures, maybe. It only requires 1,000, but we're aiming for 2,000 to get enough, you know, good signatures. I mean, if you've been involved in, you know, petitions or things like that before, you know, you got to get a few more than what you really need to get the good ones. Especially, you know, on weed issues, obviously.
Sure, sure. Now, Idaho is well known for being a highly conservative state. What's it like trying to fight for Green Party access here?
Actually, pretty easy. The more conservative place is, the more the people who want something decent, like, say, legalization or Green Party, will make time for you to sign things.
Really? So it's a situation where they're kind of tired of the status quo, and they're looking for any option, even if it's one they may not agree with?
Well, the thing here is everyone knows that this is not a swing state.
Yeah.
So it's completely safe to vote your conscience in Idaho.
True.
And at least the silver lining is if you get a certain number of votes, a percentage of the vote, then it really helps the Green Party out further their platform.
Yeah.
So anybody who's for liberal and progressive things should, you know, just vote straight up for Jill Stein in Idaho.
I know in 2000 I voted for Ralph Nader because I was living here in Idaho. I could vote for Mickey Mouse. It doesn't matter. The Republican's going to win Idaho.
To be fair, yes. In Idaho, your vote does not, in fact, count. At least not for the election, but it can count for other things.
That's right. And building Green Party access, building more access for third and fourth, even fifth parties would be a good thing in this country.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I mean, at some point, you might have to structurally change how it works to something more parliamentary to get five parties that are viable.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least getting, you know, a choice that's not Democrats or Republicans would be awesome.
I've been a longtime proponent of range voting. Have you heard of that?
Is that like ranked choice?
Yeah, like ranked choice, like multiple choice voting.
Like instant runoff?
Yeah. Anything to change our, you know, winner-take-all system.
It would be difficult to get the winners to go for that, though, because the Republicans or Democrats would have to be the ones voting yes on that, and that's how do you get them to do that?
I say we do it through state initiatives, like we did medical marijuana.
Yes.
And you get enough states that are doing that, and people see the results of that type of voting, and they'll start to want that in their state that doesn't have an initiative, and there'll be suppression.
That could be literally the only viable plan for them.
I think so. Well, good luck on collecting signatures here for the Green Party.
Just so you guys know, that is part of the Green platform, is legalizing marijuana. It has been for the longest time before it was popular for people to say that.
That's absolutely true, for as long as I can remember. Thanks so much for your hard work and your activism, and good luck for the rest of the day.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day, Russ.
You too.
Great to see those guys out there working to get Green Party access in the state of Idaho, where, again, the real election in Idaho is the Republican primary. So many other people out there at the Idaho or the Boise Hemp Fest didn't want to be recorded, though. Didn't want to get their picture taken and have their voices recorded. That's how much fear there still is out there in many parts of this country. And it's something those of us who are activists in the West Coast and the Northeast, places where we have a little more freedom, should make their way to a place like Nebraska or Texas or Idaho and see how the other half lives.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points. PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
The political climate is at a fever pitch, and the fight for the social fabric of America is set for battle this November. Tuesday, November 8th, the Cannabis Liberation Movement takes a huge step forward, and Cannabis Radio is here to chronicle this legendary moment. CannabisRadio.com and the Cannabis Radio News Team will feature wall-to-wall live coverage of all the coast-to-coast voting of state amendments, ballots, propositions, and initiatives that will further progress the Cannabis Crusade. Join us Thursday, November 8th for Vote 2016, The Path to Cannabis Freedom, only on CannabisRadio.com.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a Resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. And sad news for fans of Stoner Jesus. He's not going to be on coming up here at 5 o'clock. Too much of the real world has intruded, and he's not going to be able to do a live show tonight. So there will be a replay of a previous Stoner Jesus podcast. I'm Radical Russ. This is the tail end of Toker Talk Radio. This is the second hour of the two-hour Russ Belville Show. So if you've just tuned in late, you ought to join us. We're here at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern, every weekday on CannabisRadio.com, except this Friday I won't be on live.
because I'll be making my way to the Seattle Hemp Fest. Ah, the 25th annual Seattle Hemp Fest. And I tell people this all the time, but if you're a marijuana activist or just someone who loves weed, you ought to make your way to Hemp Fest at least once in your life. And, you know, I feel this transition a-coming, you know, because a lot of my, you know, 10 years, I've been doing this for 10 years now, and I feel like the first half of my activism career was in the ramp up to legalization, 2005 to 2010, right? So I started in 2005 with Oregon Normal, worked through 2010, Proposition 19, going to defeat in California. Then the second half, 2010 to 2015, that's your ramp. That's legalization happening, right? Well, now I think there's another five-year transition happening starting here in 2016, especially as we pass legalization in California and Nevada. Massachusetts? I don't know. Arizona? I don't know. Maine? Looking close. Those other three states, I wouldn't put a lot of hope into them, but I think we're going to get California and Nevada for sure. And so this transition is this transition from this activism base of fighting for the civil liberty and for the end of prohibition to this business base, this industry base. Already, I've got more gigs lined up to cover that are more trade show expo type things, business conferences, than activism events or legal seminars. I know so many of my lawyer friends that are transitioning from being criminal justice lawyers, you know, criminal defense lawyers, to being civil lawyers, to being, you know, business law consultants and such. So this transition's happening, and as it happens, what happens to things like the Seattle Hemp Fest? Already, they're doing another High Times Cup in Michigan at that site. It's like now, it's like High Times has realized they don't even have to have it once a year in any of these places. There's no reason they couldn't do it every couple of months. So every couple of months, you're seeing them now in the Clio, Michigan location and the National Orange Center down there in San Bernardino and so forth. And in addition to the High Times Cups, you got other cups that have their regular events that are getting bigger and better and well attended and, you know, big investment in the production value of them. So at some point, it's like, what's the big deal of going to one versus the other? There's this lack of cachet now. It's like, you know, you can go to any of them. And that's where I still think Seattle Hemp Fest is special. Because Seattle Hemp Fest retains that activism base and that small entrepreneur ethic. You know, the guy with the 10 by 10 booth, except there's 600 of them on a 1.6 mile park with six stages with great musical acts on these stages. I'll be on one of the stages called the Caviar Gold stage. It's a Cavi Gold Records artists, mostly hard rock and metal stuff going on. So I'll be speaking on that stage. But to come out to that event and to be in this park where it's 100,000 people smoking pot in a park and technically committing a felony. Washington State wrote its law just a year or two ago that made the public consumption of cannabis at a venue or an event a Class C felony. Could that be what spells the end of a Seattle Hemp Fest? Would someone actually go forward and actually prosecute something like this? God, I hope not. I don't think so. Didn't happen last year, and the same law was still in effect. It did force Seattle Hemp Fest to have to cancel its private smoking. Here's the irony. Here's the we try to legalize. We try to be good citizens here. We try to be proactive cannabis consumers and help the public out, right? So we have a Seattle Hemp Fest. Legalization passes in Washington State. The people at Seattle Hemp Fest go, all right, we'd like to be cooperative. We know it's problematic. People, you don't like to see people smoke a pot in public. And that's what Seattle Hemp Fest is all about. We're going to have a whole bunch of people smoking pot in public. So we'll compromise. We'll make a smoking area. We'll make an area of Seattle Hemp Fest with tall fencing that you can't see through
you know, shaded off from public view. We'll check people to make sure they're adults to get in there. Give them a wristband or something. Check their IDs. That's how we'll cooperate. We'll make sure that we do put our pot smoking out of public view. We'll go to great expense and effort to make this happen. And now they can't do that. Because doing something like that would explicitly prove that they're engaged in this conspiracy to run a fenced off area where they know pot smoking is happening in public. And we'd be committing a felony. So by creating the law, they actually encourage the open pot smoking, because the open pot smoking isn't really part of the conspiracy, because it's like not like Seattle Hemp Fest went out and sent a memo to 100,000 attendees and told them to smoke pot. That's 100,000 individual acts of civil disobedience going on, not an event promoting that pot should be smoked there. Twisted, isn't it? Like we tried to come up with a solution, but no, you'd rather have it be the way. Okay, but you know, it mirrors prohibition in general, doesn't it? It just mirrors the whole issue. It's the microcosm of the whole thing. Everything that the prohibitionists are prohibiting marijuana for are things that prohibiting marijuana made worse. Like, you talk about the hyperpotent pot. We got to prohibit it because today it's hyperpotent. Well, it only became hyperpotent because you prohibit it and people had to make it more potent to make it sellable. Oh, we got, what about the children? Kids are getting their hands on the pot. Yeah, because you wouldn't let us make it legal so we could check everyone's IDs like we do for cigars or beer. Everything they hate about pot was made worse because they made it illegal. And then they use what happened because of illegality to justify keeping it illegal. You make it illegal, and then all the good people who smoke pot, the teachers, the lawyers, the doctors, the scientists, the upper executives, all the good people that smoke pot, and good may not be the proper term I should be using, but work with me here. All those people have to go into hiding. They can't let anyone know they smoke pot. So who's left? Well, all the people that are the bad people. You know, the ne'er-do-wells of society. The service industry workers. The, you know, whatever. And so then they come to think, well, see? All I see out of pot smoking is bad people. Therefore, pot must be bad. That's the way prohibition works. It warps everything. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. For everyone here at Cannabis Radio. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.